Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Schanowski, I heard what you said.
Mark Schanowski.
I've seen a handful of different times where there was video of him lighting up Jamokes in pickup games.
NBC Sports Chicago Bulls pre- and post-game host.
Mr. Carter to you.
The most interesting man in the world.
I'm coming for you, man. You heard it here first.
Mark Schanowski with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Let's talk some Bulls with Mark Schanowski. He's on Twitter, at Mark Schanowski. You watch him before, during, and after games on NBC Sports Chicago. He joins us in the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Well, that just about did it. They had an opportunity to go in and lose to Phoenix, but behind Robin Lopez and Cristiano Felicio, that pretty much locks them in, I think, to that 12.5% chance of Zion, no?
Yeah, I would think so. Cleveland's been playing a lot better basketball lately, but they're two games clear of the Bulls right now. So I think it's pretty unlikely, given what the two schedules look like, that the Bulls are going to catch them. And you're right, they had a really good chance the other night. You lose that game, you're within one of the Suns. And, you know, they tried. They threw Felicio out there. They played the reserves for a good stretch of the game. But, you know, all of a sudden, Robin Lopez has turned into Kevin McHale, and nobody can stop him.
He's been absolutely fantastic. It makes me think back to the conversation about letting him have a buyout and walking away and the what-ifs of what he'd look like on somebody else's roster. I have you changed your mind at all as to whether or not he kind of fits coming back next season now that we've got Boylan entrenched in a little bit of different things than he's been into the first couple weeks of his tenure?
I think because they're only 2 years into the rebuild, they're still trying to construct a roster that can compete in the Eastern Conference. And it's been a nice story. It's been fun for us to talk about in the pre- and post-game shows. But, you know, Rolo's an old-school big man. This is his 11th year in the league. And I asked Kendall if he's ever seen a guy transform himself at this point in his career. And he said he couldn't remember anybody who's done quite what he's done. You know, granted, it's a pretty small sample size. It's about a 5 or 6 weeks since Robin decided he was going to become a low-post scorer. But the fact that he can make those jump hooks with either hands, and, you know, his moves are very deliberate and almost mechanical at times, but it's very effective. You know, he gets guys off balance, he gets them leaning the wrong way, and he's been able to score. I think it's going to pay off for him in terms of getting a contract from some team in free agency this summer, but you got to remember, he's making $14 million this year, and I don't think he's going to get anywhere close to that in free agency. I think with the Bulls, they'd rather get a backup five who can, you know, test you from three-point range, who can defend on high screen and rolls, and Rolo doesn't really fit in either of those equations. And the other thing is Wendell Carter is coming back next year. Presumably he'll be healthy for most of the year, and he'll play at least 30 minutes. So Lopez may not even be that excited about returning to a situation where he's going to be a backup who's only going to play 15 to 18 a night.
Some great nuggets from your network colleague Mark Strotman, who noted in 26 minutes, Robin Lopez scored 24 points with 0 3-point attempts and just 2 free-throw attempts. That had not been done since Nikola Vucevic scored 24 with 0 3-point attempts and 1 free-throw attempt in 25 minutes in March of 2016. Also, Robin Lopez has 3 outings of 24 or more points in his last 15 games. And before this stretch, he had scored 24 or more 3 times in his previous 226 games. I mean,
yeah,
it's just amazing. It's incredible.
It really is. He's channeling Kevin McHale. I mean, it's the same kind of playbook, you know, the up and unders, the spins in the lane. It's been amazing to watch. But part of that is because of the coaching philosophy that Jim Boylan wants those post touches. He gets a lot of chances usually in the first quarter. It's kind of like old school Bulls with Bill Cartwright and Luke Longley, where they go down in the post to see if they get some easy baskets early. I don't think that is going to be something you can sustain over 82 games. But as I mentioned, it's coming at a good time for Rolo because he's heading into free agency and prospective teams are wondering, maybe we've got something more here than we thought than just a hardworking role player who could play tough defense and set screens.
Mark, I don't know if you read through Fred Katz's article. He's writing up Jabari Parker and his new fit in D.C. under head coach Scott Brooks. But Parker has some quotes in there as it relates to his tenure with the Bulls. And I'll just read this one real quickly. I wonder what you think of it and wonder how it fits into what this season has been. When asked about the difference between Brooks and Boylan, about the fits, really, Parker said it's up to the player to overcome all those frustrations and lack of relationship to perform. So it can be either on either end. I can personally say that I've handled both those once before. You know, in Chicago, I just didn't have the best relationship with Jim Boylan. But I made sure I was there. There's no what can you say that he did wrong. When I got my opportunity, I took advantage of it because I know how much I love the game. There's a disconnect between the two of them, and it's not the first time that the Bulls as a front office have given a coach, regardless of how they got to Jim Boylan, a player that didn't quite fit.
Yeah, just a horrible fit, you know, from day one. He just has an inflated opinion of who he is as a player. You know, that when he came out of Duke, there were all the comparisons to Carmelo Anthony, and he was going to be this power small forward who was going to overpower, you know, lighter guys in the post, and he was going to be a 25-point-a-game scorer. And maybe it's because of the injuries, maybe it's just because of work ethic, but he hasn't developed to anywhere near close those kind of expectations. And right now, like a lot of people do in their lives, they blame other people for the problems that they have. And if Jabari would really be honest about his Chicago experience, he'd realize that he didn't put his best effort into it. He was not a willing practice player, didn't accept coaching, and because of that, he fell out of the rotation when Jim Boylan took over. And then, you know, fortunately, the Bulls were able to use that $20 million and move it on to Washington and bring in Otto Porter, who fits a lot better with what they're trying to do in their rebuild. But, you know, Jabari can lash out and blame other people for what didn't work with the Bulls, but obviously he deserves a lion's share of the blame for that not working out.
Jim Boylan's not making a lot of friends amid his coaching counterparts in the league right now, and I don't know why he's choosing to do some of the stuff when he doesn't have to, especially this is his first shot, and there's all kinds of end-game dust-ups here with people not appreciating some protocol violations. Do you know why he's choosing to do this?
He would tell you that he's just trying to work with a young team in terms of after timeout situations, trying to run plays the correct way. And the whole thing with Doc Rivers was ridiculous because from the beginning of time, big men have been setting screens at half court, trying to pick off, you know, a point guard pressuring the ball. And it's up to the Bulls center, in the Bulls case, Robin Lopez, to call out the screen and for the point guard to move around it. You know, for him to say that those were dirty plays and he didn't like it, so he let Doc know about it, it's just insane. And then the other situation with Phoenix, I mean, you talk about protocol. Here you got a coach from Russia worried about violating NBA protocol. Igor Kokoskov didn't like the fact they called a timeout. And it was funny that, you know, they took a deliberate foul so they couldn't execute the play that they had drawn up during the timeout. It is very strange, and I think it goes back to some of the college mentality. I mean, that's only his head coaching experience was in Utah. And there, you know, coaches call timeouts and do things that people just don't question. But in the NBA, as you mentioned, there's situations where you're expected to do one thing and he's kind of going the other. I mean, he feels like this is his opportunity to prove that he can be an NBA head coach, and he's not going to worry about what the comments are going to be from the media or other coaches, but it has been kind of strange these last couple of games.
Talking about the Bulls with Mark Schanowski, he is the pre- and post-game host of the NBC Sports Chicago Bulls pre- and post-game show. It works out that way. Mark, I've been thinking about something for a couple of weeks now, and I'm worried that the answer might be no, we'll never know, because you can't find this counterfactual. But is there anything that could happen over the next, I don't know, call it a year, that would help prove to you that Jim Boylan doing what he did in breaking things down and crawling before you walk and walking before you run and inciting just a little bit of mutiny and all that stuff, is there anything that could happen that would reinforce that was necessary?
No, I don't think so. I've always held to the notion that the NBA is a player's league and the coaches can really be more of an impediment than they can really make you a great team. I really don't feel like anything that he's done in terms of, you know, trying to go with that boot camp mentality and have them run sprints and do push-ups and all that stuff, I don't think ultimately that's going to make them more tough-minded, make them execute better in late-game situations. It's all about talent. And you saw when they got that initial burst when Otto Porter came in that, you know, you brought in a quality NBA player at a position of need and you won some games. And now they've backslid a little bit. I don't know if they're all just looking forward to the end of the season and getting off on vacation, but they're going to have to improve the talent level. You know, obviously this upcoming lottery, if they could somehow beat the odds, get Zion Williamson, all of a sudden Jim Boylan or anybody else who's coaching that team is going to look a whole lot smarter. And they need to add some veterans to improve that second unit because that's been a drag on the team in most games. They're going to have to improve the roster. And ultimately, Boylan, I think, will grow as a coach, but I don't think that's going to be the key equation into whether or not this team finds some success next year.
Real question. If the Bulls end up with the number one pick, how does that change the way they look at Jim Boylan? Do you then say, well, you know, we had a nice little experiment going on with some of these players, or do you look at it, this just got real, let's stop screwing around and see what we can do to make sure that this possibly generational player doesn't have to have anything undone and gets the best coaching we can find immediately?
Well, in talking to people at the United Center, unless they are overtly lying to me, Jim Boylan will be back next year. I don't think there's any set of circumstances that will set a chain of events in motion where they're going to decide, well, we better make the coaching change now. I think they're going to look at Zion Williamson as a guy who is potentially a generational talent, and they're going to let Jim have him and see what he can do with him. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to have a long leash. They could decide that during the season it's not working out, but for next season, during training camp in September, Jim Boylan is going to be the coach no matter what they do to the roster. And it's going to be up to him to prove that he can be successful in the NBA level.
Anybody outside of Zion or even Ja Morant in the tournament that you're most excited to watch from a draft perspective?
Yeah, you know, I like this kid from Texas Tech, Jared Culver.
Yeah.
He's 6'6". He kind of reminds me of DeMar DeRozan. He's more of a mid-range scorer than a three-point shooter. But he's very, you know, he's got that NBA body. He's very smooth in the way he moves around the court. And I think that if he was featured in an offense, if he ran particular sets for him, I think he could be a pretty good scorer in the league. Now, obviously, as I mentioned, the Bulls need to improve their bench. If they slide down to 6 or 7 and you're looking at, well, what are we going to do now? I think he could do worse than getting a versatile 6'6 wing who could really provide some punch for your second unit. I think there's going to be a lot of groundswell that they should take a point guard no matter what. You know, you get the kid from Vanderbilt, Darius Garland, who's coming off a meniscus tear. Kobe White's generating a lot of buzz. I mean, initially he was considered a second-round pick. Now I've seen some mock drafts having him in the lottery. There's going to be some pressure on the Bulls to try to address point guard right away, but, you know, you could do that in free agency. If you find a guy that you like, that you think they can really help you off the bench, I think they're still in the stage in this rebuild where you got to go for best player available. Now, I like Ja Morant. If they have the second or third pick, I would go there. But I think that if you fall down to 5, 6, 7, I think you got to forget about position and just get the best guy because they still have a number of areas, particularly the bench, that need to be addressed.
And you've got the Wizards tonight on NBC Sports Chicago.
Yes, the return, part two of Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker. Bobby's starting now and playing pretty well. You know, he obviously got that started with the Bulls. He had a couple of huge games before the trade. And Jabari's getting his minutes. He's getting what he's asked for. So he gets one of the first guys off the bench. He played 30 minutes the other night and scored 19 points. So I'm sure both of them will again try to come back and stick it to the team that traded him away. So it should be fun. We've got a 6:30 pregame. And, you know, as late season games go, this one does have some interest.
Thanks a lot, Mark. Appreciate it, man.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.